Hi, this is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to a very special episode of A Date with Dateline. Why did you laugh at me the way I said it?
Because you said, hi, this is Kimberly, instead of, hi, everyone, this is Kimberly.
I don't remember what I say.
Which is just bananas to me, because you say it the exact same, I mean, like 90% of the time. Hi, everyone, this is Kimberly.
I say everyone?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm trying to be inclusive.
Oh, but you're not feeling it today.
Yeah, no, I'm only saying hi to specific people, I guess, today. You know who you are.
Hi, everyone whose name begins with an S or a J. Everyone else, this is not the episode for you. So bye, Debbie.
Poor Debbie.
See you later, Lyle.
Lyle. Love
it. We need more friends named Lyle.
Yeah, we do. I want to say big congratulations to Holly Ann, who won the Heffervescence contest.
Congratulations, Holly Ann.
And if you don't know what that contest is, you are not listening to our episodes in completion. So get
really
on that.
It's really kind of terrible. It was a little blackmail-y what we did. Well, listen to the end and you'll get a prize.
Mm-hmm. Except we've only done it now once and now probably won't do it again. So now they don't have to listen again to the end.
We could do it again. YouTubers do it. They do like a code word throughout. And then at the end, they're like, for the giveaway. But they're giving away like 15 bottles of foundation and like really expensive prizes. How about we'll do one that if you listen to the end.
I could give away like a half opened bag of rice chips.
And a cat.
That's what we have to give. This episode is dedicated to our patroness, Jody, who's been a Patropod, which is, aww, I'm trying to bring in more into the mix, for over a year.
Wow.
Could you have a little more excitement when I say that?
I feel weird about that. She stayed with us that long. And yeah. I'm
self-conscious. Wow. We don't deserve little. It.
No, I feel like it's the club that you don't want to be a member of because what's the Woody Allen quote? I can't get there. You know what I mean.
Yeah. She's described as a Pollyanna and a tall drink of water. She's like the opposite of me in every single way, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two things don't go together either.
Yeah.
Do they?
She's also a hugger and she wants to hug us if we ever met in person. I would hug her. I'm not a hugger, but I would hug. I hugged people at CrimeCon.
Well, thank you so much, Jody. We really appreciate it. And this one's for you.
This one's for you.
And it's also kind of appropriate because the name
Something
of this episode.
Something sweet, and Jody's really sweet.
There you go.
Oh my God. Girl, we planned that out.
Stop.
I winked.
She just winked at you, Jody. That was not at me, because if it's at me, then I can't continue with this episode.
It was for
it's
Jode.
It's going to be real short.
I'm calling you Jode now.
No one likes that. No, because that sounds like either Toad or like Jonads, like gonads.
J-Dog?
How about D? How about Dee Dee?
Dee Dee?
Why don't we go with the second half of the name?
What about JoJo?
How about just Joe? Like Little Women, Joe.
Okay, there I like go. That. This episode, Joe, is hosted by Josh Mankiewicz. It is season 24, episode 13. It aired on December 11th, 2015. Funny story about this episode. We did record this one once, like a year ago.
Sure did.
And we were both in really bad moods and arguing a lot, and the episode didn't come out good, and then we ended up just picking another episode. So
Is that really what? You're sure that's what happened?
I swear to you that's what happened. Uh-huh.
What were we arguing? Well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find what's so exciting about this. We get to find out if history repeats itself or if it was just we're pretty mercurial people. Like especially both of us actually. If you catch us on the wrong day, we just synced up at the wrong time.
But also weird that we would do this again on an episode with that's not a typical Dateline title. Something Sweet is not. It could go for a lot of different things is what I'm saying. It could be like the Barbie animated series, Something Sweet. That's episode 4, right? Like it's Something Sweet is a title that is not necessarily murderish.
What does that have to do with our fighting about things?
Because it's a very like happy, sweet title.
Oh, I see.
So I'm going to be shocked if we're not on the same page with 98% of this.
We were not last time. You were giving someone the benefit of the doubt a lot.
Oh, I see. How much did I talk about Kenny Rogers a lot.
Not enough, I don't think. I could have done with more, I think. I mean, I didn't listen to the episode. This is just what I remember from it.
Okay. Because
for some reason, I have a fairly good memory about this. I think I want more Kenny Rogers because I'm uneducated about Kenny Rogers. Like, I do not know things.
I have never been more disappointed in the fact that we can no longer play music on our episodes. And that, I feel like, is a good segue to say, I'm sorry, we can no longer play music on our episodes.
We could. Wah, we just don't want to get sued. So we're going to try to not risk it anymore.
So I'm going to try to sing them as best I can. with minor vocal backing.
People would love that. They'd prefer Islands that.
Islands in the stream. That is what we are.
Is that Cher? Nope.
Yeah, it's not. I was trying to do Kenny and Dolly together, and it turned into Cher. You're welcome. All right, go ahead.
So this episode is about a guy named Ray. He lived in the Pennsylvania woods, which I want to move to. I'm obsessed with the woods lately. I want to just go. I want to flee. I even almost booked 2 nights in a cabin with no Wi-Fi in the woods.
I'll take you to the woods.
No, I just want to go by myself. Sorry, no offense. I just want to go and not talk to anyone. And just decompress. But then I thought, no Wi-Fi, I couldn't watch Great British Bake Off.
No, you're also going to get killed. You can't do that.
I might get murdered.
That is the start to... She just wanted to decompress.
What a way to go.
So she went to the woods.
What a way to go. Chainsaw guy.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Ray got divorced and had 3 grown children. He tried online dating, and his daughter was skeptical and a little bit judgy. If you ask me. Didn't you think?
Yeah.
Why was she like that?
I actually wrote that down. Her name's Monica, by the way.
Monica.
Why is Monica against online dating? Because we can't all just be lucky in love. We can't all just meet someone at the Barnes & Noble.
Right.
And then, this isn't You've Got Mail. Like, we're not... Where are we supposed to
Wish
meet someone?
Wish it was, but...
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they online date and You've Got Mail?
No.
Wasn't it You've Got Email?
Well, basically, yes. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, well, that's embarrassing. Okay, that's a bad choice of romantic comedies. But anyways, you get my point. It's unfair, because how are you supposed to meet someone in this day and age if you're not online dating?
No, I agree. She was very much had the old school, like, you know, people used to lie about it. They used to, like, lie about where they met their partner.
Right.
If it was online. Now I feel like, no shame, just, it's fine. But she was like, crazy people.
So, and also what? So that's it? You messed up the first one, Dad. You're not married to Mom anymore. So you met her in college.
You got one shot at this, Dad, and now you're done.
It. Yeah.
Sorry, Ray. So he meets Teresa Bowers Lovin. What a name.
Whoa.
Bowers Lovin. I think her son is McLovin.
Or Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer. I wish Jack Bauer would give me some... McLovin. So Teresa thought Ray looked like Kenny Rogers and was her type exactly. What do you want
to
say?
I like it because the segue was something that she was into country music.
Yes.
And so the fact that, but I don't, to me, Kenny Rogers is not like a country music musician, which I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for. He obviously is in the country music genre. Mm. But to me, he's like, I don't know, Dolly and those folks don't, I don't equate them with country music. They're not like Brooks and Dunn to me.
You don't associate Dolly Parton with country music.
No, I associate her with a different brand, like an old West classic.
It is a different era of country music.
It's not the country music we have now.
Right.
And so, old country.
Yeah, although
which sounds
we're
like
going to get letters. Because yeah, it does sound like I have to go back to the old country to visit my Polish relatives. But
I can't find my babushka.
It also, we are going to get letters because people are going to be like, Dolly is still current and hip and making music. So she is new country.
No one loves Dolly more than me.
I know.
So it's fine. I can say this and stand firm in it. I equate her with something more classic than the country that's out now.
I see. I gotcha. So,
and Kenny is in the same vein.
I see. Is he the know when to hold him?
The gambler? Yes, he is.
Okay.
And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Sorry.
So I knew something.
We really wish I could insert the office bus on the way to beach day, all singing that song.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, it's the best, because it's Kevin singing it. It's Kevin leading the charge. And I think it's actually... in the end credits of it. And
wait,
it shows
Kevin of Scrantonicity fame?
Kevin of Scrantonicity doing the verses. And then everyone sings, "You've Got to Know When to Hold 'Em." But Michael Scott is in the back going, "You've got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold." And he's doing his like vibrato.
Me, yes, when Peggy Hill does her own lyrics that she's decided on, like the Propaniacs. And she's like, "The Propane Maniacs." And they're like, "No, the Propaniacs." No. And then they go, "One, two, three, Propane." And she's like, "Propane Maniacs." She's
wait, let's do it together. You do Peggy Hill. I'll do the other ones. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, on three.
One, two, three.
The Propane Maniacs.
Because that was her suggestion. She can't let go, even though they've all decided on Propaniacs.
I hate it. I hate
that. What if Peggy Hill and Michael Scott got together? That would be insane.
Oh, they'd hate each other.
They would. Because you hate what you despise in yourself.
Yeah,
you it might would be. Not know.
But then when Michael Scott meets David Brent.
Right, they loved each other.
That was beautiful. I wanted more of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, now we know it. Okay.
Okay. So Teresa and Ray got married, and he immediately started spending tons of money on her. And she was happy with that. Then some tragedy hits the family, and Teresa's daughter is killed in a car accident. And Ray and Teresa take the kids and start raising them as the grandparents. They are raising the grandchildren.
And I'm sorry, I get a little confused in this. So Ray had adult children, and Teresa had adult children when they got... Teresa had three. She had or two boys and the girl. Girl passes. How many did Ray have? We meet Monica. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, there's another sister.
And
she comes at the very, very end.
In court. Got it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
But there might be a son, too. I can't remember.
But the only one that's living at home at the time that they get married is maybe one of Teresa's sons, who they say is still in high school. I was trying to figure that out. I was hoping
it. Maybe a pimple on his cheek.
Oh, I think it's a full black eye, but we'll get there. No, I'm talking about the other one, the one with the earring and this large scar above his ear that is unexplained.
Large scar and Eminem style haircut.
Correct.
Okay.
What's that called? Grizzle bangs.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, we named it Grizzle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I like it.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't. I'm just trying to think. They were childless, or was that high school boy living
at
home?
They had one kid at home in high school when they got married.
And so then they had the two kids. There was still an older boy living there, but he was almost out of the house.
He was probably maybe even done by then.
So then they're given an infant and a...
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Big change. Right. And then one of the little children gets cancer. It's terrible.
The little girl.
Yes. Yeah. And Ray helps take care of her. He shaves his head in support when she loses her hair. It's so
That's
sweet.
Adorable.
And then she goes into remission. And you might think, why are we telling you all this? Because Mank has the line, she went into remission, but Ray and Teresa's relationship suffered collateral damage. Has that been an episode title? Is that a movie?
Well,
is that a TV show?
No, Collateral is a movie with Tom Cruise, I believe, and Jamie Foxx.
Is Collateral Damage a show?
Probably.
Sounds Do you want like me to IMDb law it? Show. No, not really. I don't care that much. So anyways, the little girl is good, but their marriage has become strained. According to Teresa, Ray had become stressed and was angry and drinking. However, according to Ray's family, he was fine and the drinking was never a problem. So we really don't know who to believe here. They're both saying completely opposite things.
We can only believe the pictures that Dateline shows us in B-roll. And you have to make your own determination. I made mine.
Do you want to say what yours is?
I will not be sharing it with our listeners.
What?
Or with you, for that matter.
Okay. This is why maybe we got into a fight last time.
I've decided to keep some things private in my life. And I don't want to share what I think. That there are some grainier pictures towards the end of his B-roll pictures that are suspect.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what is Dateline expected to do? They're saying he's drinking, so they have to show one of him like in a weird doorway, like with a Pabst Blue Ribbon
in
his hand.
And it could have just been he was casually drinking a beer and the photo didn't come out well. But it could be that he was drinking it's probably more likely that he was and his family was in denial about it.
Of course he's drinking. He just got young children dropped upon him from his wife.
I know, but he tried to be really supportive and spent time with them. And
but you still might want to drink a little bit more than normal.
That's true. Now, Teresa and the grandkids decide to move out, but they were staying cordial for the sake of the kids. One day, Teresa goes to Ray's house to do laundry, which is so funny to me that you would break up with someone but still go to their house to do laundry.
Well, okay, so I have a little bit of outside information. Do you want it? Because it might change that a little.
Sure.
This all sort of, the event happens on August 13th. She moved out August 8th.
Oh, she had like just moved out.
She had just moved out, so she probably didn't have her new washer and dryer hooked up yet.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I would just go to a laundromat, but...
Would you? Or would you save that $7 and go...
Yeah. It depends how awkward it was.
But if the laundry machine's in the garage, you barely have to see him. I don't think she cared. Yeah.
So she finds Ray very sick and nearly naked and incoherent.
Hmm.
She tries to get him to go to the doctor, but he won't. The next morning, Teresa sends her mom to check on Ray. And I was like, how old is your mom? You're sending your poor mom over there to check on your nearly naked, incoherent ex-boyfriend?
Does the mom live, like, right nearby? Is the mom, like, down
the
street?
It's not like the mom can, like, lift him up and carry him to the bathroom.
Yeah, true.
Or wipe up his puke or something. It's terrible. Mom, you go handle this.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's so mean.
It's not very nice, Teresa. You owe your mom an apology and an edible arrangement.
Yeah, definitely. So the mom finds him unconscious. So Teresa calls 911. This has to be one of the weirdest phrases I've ever heard on a Dateline 911, which is Teresa talking about her husband being unconscious, says, man down.
Yeah.
Is she in the Navy?
I remember this from... Man, I think she's down. Just trying to, like, get the point across that he's out. Then why don't you say that?
In the Army? Or, like, was she, like, a paramedic or something? It would never, ever occur to me when I'm making a call to 911 to say man down. Unless I have some sort of training. It makes no sense to me. It's very weird.
What was her job?
I honestly can't remember. She did not... I don't even know if she had a job.
I don't either. Okay.
Should that be the episode title? Man Down.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I'm writing that down.
It could apply to about 50% of Dateline episodes, though.
Doesn't matter. I'm writing it down.
A man goes down at one point or another. So Ray is rushed to the hospital, and they figure out that he had ingested antifreeze, but it is too late to save him. Teresa tells the doctors to let him go, and they pull the plug. The medical examiner, Dr. Eric Vey, looks at the case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Eric, I see what you did. You know when Mank famously, it's not really famous to, it's just famous to us. We know it. We remember. Instead of famously, it's just remembered. He wore a pink hanky to do the pink time mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The ME has watched Dateline. He knew he was up against Sir Mank with the hank. And he says to himself, I'm going to wear a lime green tie, the exact shade of antifreeze. And when they show B-roll of pouring antifreeze into a beaker and then they cut to me, my tie is going to make this whole thing like a thematic piece of art. And I say to him, well done, sir.
And then I say to him, you will be outdone later, sir.
Well,
because
no one...
this color will make a reappearance.
By someone else.
In a very inopportune moment. But
he didn't know that. So... good effort on you.
Good effort on him.
I appreciated it.
Yeah.
But then I notice the American flag pin on his lapel, which usually I only see on, like, politicians.
Oh.
And I was wondering, was he a local congressperson?
Oh, maybe.
Or a mayor or something? Or on the council?
Do you want to look him up?
No, I don't. Okay. But imagine how much power someone has if they are the mayor and they control all the autopsy reports.
Oh, that's a lot. And what's this county called? They say
couldn't
it like
that be like
times.
An evil villain?
Oh, yeah. Wait, what is it called? Ashtabula County. It's like a crazy
Ashtabula.
Ashtabula County.
You got it.
I think it's small.
I think he's on the council there, and that's he wears the flag pin, and
wields he, a lot
and
of power.
Wields mm-hmm. tremendous power behind. Like it's almost like a mob thing to be the coroner and in politics in the town.
What's his name?
What is his life? Dr. Vey. Okay. Dr. Eric Vey.
I like it.
Teresa tells the ME that Ray had said he drank something sweet and that he had been threatening to kill himself. So it looks like suicide. But Ray's daughter doesn't buy it. The police start looking into it. They check the house, but it's been cleaned. Except there's this big cardboard box yeah. of crushed beer and Dr. Pepper cans.
I would say also 90% Dr. Pepper, 10% beer.
If yeah, you're looking. Definitely. And I would say like 100 cans.
And we're back. Dr. Pepper. Okay, I know we do it at the end, but again, with Dr. Pepper in the Dateline episodes, we have another. We got another one of these people that only drink exclusive Dr. Pepper.
Him, Ray, and Lars.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper
should get
forever.
Together and have little Dr. Pepper parties. But this box of 100, it must have been like a month's worth. Was that a week's worth of cans?
No, but no, I'm sure. Look, okay, how many, if you are in a soda drinking, I drink a lot of soda. How about that? Like, I'm trying to think of how many cans I go through in a day. I just don't only drink one kind of soda.
Right.
And I don't drink cans.
I used to drink like 9 cans of Diet Coke a day.
Right.
Like 9. So
that would fill up a box pretty quick. So it could be a week.
So embarrassing. That's why I'm enjoying my Circle water bottle.
I love the Circle water bottle.
This is not an ad for that
no,
right
sorry,
now, but
everybody.
We do really like them.
Yeah, I really do.
And
I love
am drinking
mine.
It right now. I
Mine's
do.
It's really,
I really
cool.
Do. Yeah.
And I don't drink water. And I really like that bottle. I've been taking it with me places.
Yeah, I really like it. The police look into the strange life and times of Ray and Teresa. That's what Josh says. The strange life and times. When they started dating, Teresa was also seeing a man named Robert. And she left Robert for Ray. And Robert was furious. To that, I say, her? She's pretty, I guess, but she's like just a lady. She's just some lady. In her 40s, 50s.
Well, I don't think you have
What's
to
so
say
special?
It. Because it Mink says it for you later.
It's not like she's Julia Roberts and she's sparkling. Or like me when I have my period sorted out by Lola. And I'm just delighted all the time.
It is a delightful thing. That is for sure.
Did you know that major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester, and can be treated with harsh chemicals?
Boy.
I'm not saying that antifreeze is in there, but we don't really know what's in there.
Correct.
Because the FDA doesn't make them disclose what's in their products. But Lola tells you exactly what's in their products. It's 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. I thank you, Lola, and my Clovis. Thanks you.
As do I.
They also have cleansing wipes now for anywhere on the body. They're biodegradable, hypoallergenic, individually packaged. You know that I sporadically break out into full body sweats.
Correct.
Like I'm about to be arrested for poisoning someone with antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm just at a brunch. It's embarrassing.
Oh boy.
That's why these wipes are incredibly useful to me. So for 40% off your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter Dateline when you subscribe.
That's 40% off?
40% off for your first
amazing.
Month subscription. Go to mylola.com and enter Dateline. Come on. Her name was Lola. She had her menzies. And at that point, she realized that nothing rhymes with menzies. Just go into instrumental because
menses and organic cotton are always in fashion when you're with Lola.
Lola.
Get yours today.
Thank you, Lola.
Thank you, Lola.
You're the best.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So Teresa's ex, Robert, is so upset that she left him for Ray, he stalks them. He vandalizes Teresa's car. So Ray sees this thing in the mail, this package, and it looks, Ray thinks the package looks crazy, which is probably the 13 stamps and the giant sticker that has an airplane with a line through it. Like, you should not mail any this product, which... How did that, did he go to the post office and then they ask, is there anything explosive or batteries or dangerous in here? And he said, yes. He was honest about it. And that's how he got that sticker. What?
Why didn't he know? Why did he mail it? Why didn't he just deliver it to the house?
Great point.
And put it, maybe he did. Maybe the mail service did not deliver it. Maybe he just put it there and made it look like the mail service had delivered it.
And he wasted 13 stamps?
And an airplane sticker.
I don't know.
Foolhardy.
Very foolhardy.
It's a lot, Robert.
Rate is smart enough to bring the package to the police, and they detonate it. Wow. How do you drive that to the... How carefully would you be driving?
Well, have we mentioned that Ray is a former corrections officer?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't mention that.
I'm pretty sure he's braver. He called his buddies and was like, hey... How do I handle this? And they're like, okay, be real careful. Do you think you can put it in the car? And he's like, I don't know. All right, let me give it a shot. Let me give this a whirl. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Tell my girls I love them. And then got in the car. Sorry. I really just want Ray to be Kenny Rogers. He's not. Yeah. But that's all right. But I bet he had a big Christmas tree anyways. I bet he had a really big Christmas tree.
Do you think he dressed like Santa Claus? Because he has a Santa Claus beard.
Yes. Absolutely, I think he dressed like Santa. I think he was perpetual Santa and probably didn't like it towards the end when he was drinking more. If he was drinking more.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Jury's out. So Robert is sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
Which is seems shockingly short.
For trying to kill someone.
A bomb. Yeah. That seems...
But did you see Robert? Do you think this was looksism? When I saw Robert's mugshot, I was like, well, you look like a... Weird. That's weird. He's a little smile.
I don't know if that was the mugshot. I thought the same thing. And then I zoomed in. It kind of looked like Dateline had taken a picture of him that where he was just smiling at the camera and then posted it on like a cement background. So it looked like it was a mugshot.
Was that his DMV shot?
It kind of looked like
it. Oh, brother. Okay. We just got his ID.
Yeah. But he is smiling. It's really, it is weird. It's kind of creepy.
With the creepy peeper mustache.
It's do like you think they caught him because he put his return address on the package?
Did he?
I don't know. But I kind of think he might have.
Oh, we got to check that out.
I don't feel like Robert was that smart. So Robert's let out of prison just a few months before Ray dies. What?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not being tracked or anything with an ankle monitor, so he could continue stalking them, which seems, again, the laws... What is going on? Mank says he would have had easy access to antifreeze. And the detective, who I kind of thought was a little cute, says, well, everyone has access to antifreeze.
You thought he was kind of cute?
Just in like a dorky kind of way.
I see it. First of all, he was one of the best detectives I feel like I've seen in a minute. He was good and he was clear and he was a really good interview. And I feel like he had good rapport with Mank and Mank liked talking to him.
Well, Mank would have to approve of any of my boyfriends. I've already decided.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I would need to have them be interviewed by Mank, and he would have to give his blessing or not.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that if he listened to this show, which he doesn't, so it's fine.
He might listen to it when I send it to him and say, listen to this part.
You're going to be really
who's your favorite now? That's...
So, Robert's story was checking out, and the policeman says... This was where I didn't get the policeman. This is where I was not on my policeman's side. He says, well, we couldn't find anything other than his previous association with Raymond that would suggest he did this. Previous association. He tried to blow him up with a bomb.
Yeah, that's true. But he didn't say that right. What he needed to say was, like, there had been no evidence that he had been anywhere near the area.
Right.
In the last 3 months. And so we honestly, like, he's living his life elsewhere.
He makes it sound like they both shopped at the same Home Depot and sometimes talked about trailers.
Kinda.
While they were in line together. trying to blow someone up puts you somewhere between close friend and family in terms of relationship levels. It goes stranger, acquaintance, associate, friend, confidant, tries to blow you up, family, romantic relationship. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Linda, who's commenting on your internet questions and you didn't ask her, she's falling between stranger and acquaintance, I think.
Is there something below stranger?
Someone who you are actively avoiding.
Right.
So they don't know that your presence exists in the world.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's deep. I don't know what we'd call that. We call that Linding. So now... Robert says to the police about Ray's murder, that could have been me.
That's not great.
I thought he was flattering himself a little bit. Like, you think you're poisonable, Bob?
He tried it really hard. He tried to get it to be him. He tried to kill the competition to get to be the poisonee.
I think he's jealous.
Yeah.
That everyone out there seems to want to kill Ray, and no one seems to care enough to want to kill Robert. That's got to hurt. Poor Robert.
Yeah.
Then there is something no one expected, which is a huge financial collapse. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you? And the whole department goes belly up, basically, and stops working murder cases. So Ray's daughter becomes an activist. She's investigating and she's bugging like maybe the one guy that's still a cop there and the higher states people. She's calling and writing letters. Meanwhile, Teresa is collecting Ray's life insurance. She's bought a house.
Uh-huh.
She's started seeing a new guy, Tim, a trucker. And he seems, I'm going to say, a little bit dumb. He wears a tie-dye shirt. And at one point, he sits down at the counter with a pencil, and he looks like he's doing his homework, like he's in fifth grade.
Is he journaling? He's got an open journal. He's got an open notebook. Is he making a list?
He looks like he's doing his math homework.
Change cat litter. Okay, go ahead.
He thinks that she didn't do it. She doesn't have to tell him she didn't do it. He just knows that she didn't do it. Sure, Stan.
Do you think that he's just kind of a slow talker? I don't know if he's dumb. I think he's just moseying.
No, I think he's dumb. I think there's some Stephen Avery in him.
I think he's dumb for wearing tie-dye on Dateline.
I'm sorry if that was offensive, but
I get it.
But it's mostly because he doesn't think she did it, and he's staying with her, and he got with her when she's already being accused of this. And then we'll see more from him later.
Correct.
So Teresa's first husband, Roy, different from Ray.
Roy Lovin. I want to meet
McLovin's
Roy Lovin's
father. Says that Teresa poisoned him with rat poison. We have another poisoning.
There we go.
So Roy, like Tim, the new guy, I think might be a little slow.
We don't talk to Roy.
Just go with me.
Okay.
He is sitting there having dinner with Teresa and their young son. The one with
Junior.
The black eye.
His name is Roy, too. It's Roy Lovin Jr.
Yes, Roy Jr. McLovin Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And he has black eye, present tense, we think.
Correct.
So they're having dinner when the son is very young. And he's eating mashed potatoes that Teresa made. And he takes a spoonful and feeds the mashed potatoes to the little son. And Teresa jumps across the table and with her fingers takes the mashed potatoes out of the son's mouth. Totally normal dinner time occurrence. Then Roy got super sick that night. He doesn't think anything of it, though.
Hmm.
Then Roy's dog was poisoned.
Well, again, now, do we know that? We don't know.
This is why we got into a fight last night. What do you mean we don't know?
We don't have evidence of the dog being poisoned. The dog died, but like I would like the rest of that sentence.
Then maybe
the dog
took it to
was
the vet.
Poisoned by chocolate. Then the dog was poisoned because I found rat poison in his food.
Mm.
I want the ends of these sentences that explain how he came to the conclusion that the dog was poisoned.
I don't know what to tell you. It's a 1-hour episode. If it was a 2, we would have gotten those stories.
We would have gotten that sentence.
Mm-hmm. They would have been able to finish those two sentences.
That's the sentence that was cut for time.
It was cut for time.
I want a Roy Lovin Sr. exclusive on this.
I do too. I would love that. But I've already called him dumb, so I don't think he's going to come on our show.
No, definitely not.
So the dog dies, and Roy, again, thinks nothing of it. And it's not until years later, when Ray is poisoned, that he puts two and two and two together and says, oh, maybe something happened there. Side note, mashed potatoes are delicious. I enjoy them.
They are.
Teresa's son that was almost accidentally poisoned say it never happened. And that his dad, Roy, is lying because he's jealous.
Of what?
Again, over Teresa?
I don't know what's happening.
What, her? Okay, but he was a little kid then. So why would we believe him over the dad who's saying it happened?
He doesn't remember the incident, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right, but he's saying, and last time too, you said, well, he said it didn't happen, so maybe it didn't happen.
I didn't say that.
You did. You questioned that this whole thing happened, that we don't know if any of this really happened.
First of all, we absolutely don't know that any of this happened.
That's true. But our gut says.
My gut says, I don't know. I don't think it matters. I still think she poisoned Ray.
Okay.
So Roy could be making it up for attention. I don't know why Roy is coming forward with it. But I don't think also, why would he stick his neck out if it didn't happen? So if I said it last time, I apologize. But I don't think you
need to apologize. But I remember being like, I don't think Katie thinks this lady did it.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, we'll get there.
Oh, so but you do, you don't think. There is not a lot of proof.
There is not. This is a rough case for me because we are not given. I did some outside research on it. I'll put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Which has not led me to any closer to the truth of the matter. which was some interesting reading for about 20 minutes.
Which got me nowhere.
Got me absolutely back to square one, which was question. Can we call Josh?
Does he know anything else? We will be asking him about this one next time we talk to him. Okay. How about that?
Yes.
So Teresa takes a polygraph. The way that Josh Mankiewicz describes the results of this was saying,
great.
Was this not so good?
He doesn't just say she
doesn't pass the polygraph.
No, he doesn't.
He says,
beautifully.
He has to do it poetically. And he says, did you poison Ray? No. Which was also the answer as to whether Teresa was telling the truth. Mm. She failed the polygraph. So no and no.
No and no. Failed the polygraph on the two most important questions, which is what? Did you poison Ray? And do you know who poisoned Ray?
There you go.
Great.
Now, we've been talking occasionally to Beth, who's Teresa's friend, with the perm.
Yeah, I don't, it's not really her
Beth
friend,
Beth has
though.
Been friends with Teresa. It was more like Beth was friends with Teresa's daughter. And now they're really good friends.
Maybe because the daughter passed away.
So now they're friends.
I didn't even put that together. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, yeah.
But she thinks that Ray committed suicide, which is what Teresa's story is.
Maybe she just believes her friend.
She just really believes her friend, but we'll get to even more of it later on. We have the best interview between her and Mank.
Yeah, we do.
At the end. So they arrest Teresa. Her new husband, or new boyfriend, whatever, Tim, he says something about when she's arrested, and I watched it 3 times. I still can't understand what he's saying, because he's kind of a slow talker. He's saying something like, it's maybe started bawling, but it sounds like straight bowling.
It's like start sobbing. Sobbing.
It sounded like straight bowling.
She wanted to, she almost started sobbing or bawling, but she had something in her. He's starting sentences.
But the
he's
rest
doing
of
what
the
I
time
do.
He doesn't have an accent. They live in Ohio.
True.
Like he doesn't have an accent the rest
he's
of the time.
He's just a slow talker. But he's starting sentences and not finishing them. So that's why you're getting confused. And so I'm familiar
exactly
with
what
it.
That's exactly
because I do it. And I edit these podcasts. So I know how much I do it. My apologies to all listeners out there. I'm aware that I do it. I don't hear it when it's happening.
Neither anyways. Katie or I think, are what you'd call linear thinkers. So
right.
It's painful. Yes. Then we see Teresa's mugshot. Again, her?
When does that point come? When's Manx her moment. When is that?
That's towards the end.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, okay. It's soon. So Teresa gets a defense lawyer. She turns down plea deals, which would have given her almost no jail time because she thinks God is on her side. So let's go to trial. Yay.
Her defense lawyer seems competent, though.
He seems
elderly. Yeah, but we've seen some incompetent attorneys. But he seems like he really does want to do his best. And in trial, he does.
100%. But there's one thing that he says that I was like, I think he's totally missing the boat there. Well, first, the prosecution says the doctor in the hospital takes the stand and says that Teresa had said that Ray wasn't suicidal, even though later she said the opposite. And the doctor has just gotten her hair curled and they're super bouncy.
There you go.
I wanted to just pull them and then let it go up. Ding, ding. That's not the noise they would make. I don't know what they would make.
Going.
There. Yeah. Yes. 100%. That's it. Mm-hmm. So the medical examiner takes the stand. He says that Ray was given the original dose a day before he was sick, which was when Ray was out with Teresa and the grandkids.
But how does he know that?
Because of the toxicity level, like the way it, maybe in your hairs, like I know with some drugs, they can look at the hair follicles and see how long something, well, that's usually because hair grows over months and months. It must be something else.
Okay.
But he said he had a way of seeing when the doses were, or like when the first dose was.
Got it.
Like the big dose. Because I think it takes a certain number of hours to take effect. So then you rewind and you subtract and go backwards. What?
I thought you were going to start doing math. I was trying to stop. I was trying to head it off at the pass.
Smart.
But I think...
Very smart.
Okay, but they try to refute... We get to the point where they try to refute that. Okay. Well,
they do. They bring on someone who says they can't tell when it was.
Because it could be smaller doses in, like, a shorter period of time. Not
right.
One big dose one and big then dose. Just waiting for it to take effect. It's smaller.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
But he had had symptoms before because she had said she saw him the day before.
Correct.
And he was incoherent then.
Right.
And half naked for some reason. And then she sent her poor mom there. Whatever. So that's when I knew I didn't like Teresa. Mm-hmm. So Teresa had said that Ray didn't have any other visitors. So she's totally painted herself into a corner that it's either her that gave it to him or he gave it to himself.
Now, would... Again, just to play devil's advocate on this, why would she do that? Why wouldn't she instead say, I don't know if he had any other visitors because I wasn't there? Why would she straight out say...
Because she right away says suicide. She never tries to blame it on Robert or anything. She just says suicide right away. That was her go-to.
Okay.
Which, again, doesn't make sense because she did tell the doctors that he didn't commit suicide. So, or he wasn't suicidal. But then she says that later.
But what was the sentence that she said to the doctors? Did they say, was he suicidal? And she said, I don't think so.
Right. So that I watched that a couple times because there's a difference of you bringing it up or them bringing it up. The Dateline says she had told them specifically he wasn't suicidal. And then when the doctor's taking the stand, the doctor says she conveyed to us that he wasn't likely suicidal. So I don't really know who brought it up. But I'm sure they asked. The doctors would ask, like, how has he been emotionally, you know? But again, we've seen this on Dateline before, and no one with any right mind would take antifreeze to themselves because it's the worst way to go.
Right, so, correct. No, and we will get to, yeah, I have something to say about that. Yeah, yeah.
So... Ray's daughter takes the stand and says that Teresa pulled the plug at the hospital without consulting with the kids.
Oh, no, the other daughter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not the one that's being interviewed.
Yes. And she made sure that he was cremated right away. And then she told Ray's daughter that she needs to make sure that the daughter wasn't the beneficiary.
Yeah, that from my outside information, there was definitely a lot surrounding whatever happened at the hospital. The pulling of the plug was a problem because I don't think Teresa consulted with the daughters, like with the family that much.
She didn't at all.
Yeah, she insisted on the cremation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, yeah. But I don't understand why the cream, because the daughter was handling the body. It was something about that daughter was going to handle her father's remains. And then she was very concerned that somehow that would make the daughter the beneficiary. Again, all of this, by the way, is over a life insurance policy. Are you going to tell how much it is?
I don't know how much it is.
It's $150,000. This is not a giant life insurance policy.
It's pretty big for someone in their, well, I don't want to say in their 50s. They still need a lot more than that to survive. But it's something.
She would have gotten a bigger alimony from him and his pension as a corrections officer than this one-time payout if she had just gotten a divorce.
Well, I didn't say she was smart. So you have a lot of doubts that she did it.
I don't like not having a motive on this. Again, I never like not having a motive. This is a running theme through all the episodes without motives. Drive me nuts. I want a clear reason why her life would be better without him. He was not standing in the way of anything. He wasn't begging. He wasn't saying, no, I will not give Grant you a divorce.
Right.
There's no clear reason for why she would do this. And there's no witnesses coming forward saying she just wanted him out of her life because X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
I want a reason for this.
Mm.
Right?
Do you think it was Robert?
I don't know. That's the thing that stinks is I honestly don't know.
I don't think he committed suicide with antifreeze.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, we can get to it at the end. We're almost there.
So the defense takes their turn. I don't know how you say it.
Takes their turn.
Yeah.
Churns the butter.
We're taking turns. A turn of the screw.
There we go.
The defense comes up and says, the reason we know it wasn't suicide is because Ray didn't call the police and say, help me, I've been poisoned.
Correct.
Like,
I thought that too.
No, see, I think that makes zero sense because if you've been poisoned, a lot of times you don't know that you've been poisoned. You just know you don't feel good and you're disoriented and not thinking straight.
But was he that much that he wouldn't go to the hospital? Like, was he that opposed to hospital? Because I feel like you would just call 911 being like, oh, I'm losing control of my bowels. There's some problem.
But you're not thinking clearly. So it's like asking someone who's on Ambien and fighting evil Smurfs in their front yard. Why did they take the Ambien? They're like, I don't know what Ambien is. I have to fight these Smurfs, ma'am.
Yeah, Will you please step back.
Please step back, ma'am.
Can I borrow your shoe?
Yeah. I'm trying to protect you.
Why are you
nothing
dressed
to
like
see
Santa?
Here. I need your shoe. So you said, because the shoe is the best weapon.
And can I borrow your boot? Take off that boot. No, not the right one. Just the left one. Just the left one. I don't want the right one.
The left one is perfect size
for
stabbing Smurfs.
They can see the right one. They can't see the left.
It has the invisibility shield on it. How do you not know this,
don't
ma'am?
Don't know anything.
That poor ma'am.
I know, poor ma'am.
Poor lady. God. So there's no DNA or fingerprints on the antifreeze bottles. To me, that's really weird and huge. There are no fingerprints or DNA on the antifreeze bottles in the garage.
I wrote Kimberly on that.
Yep. Because you remember, because logically, there should have been Ray's. He bought them. His stuff should have been on there. The fact that there's nothing means they were most likely wiped off.
This was a big deal in the appeal that I read is that they said the antifreeze bottles, it was the placement of the bottles too, and they show them in the garage and they're right where they should be. One's used, one's still sealed, right? Factory sealed. The fact that if he did commit suicide, it would just be out.
Right, that's true.
He wouldn't care who knew it. He wouldn't care that there were traces of it in the Dr. Pepper cans. Instead, there's no trace of how it was given to him.
That's great. So he's like washing dishes after he tried to kill himself.
Or he's drinking it straight from the bottle, but then putting it right back where it came from.
Right.
But that's not happening. He's not drinking antifreeze straight from the bottle.
No.
I don't think.
But
actually,
that makes me think of something very interesting. So, and we're at it right now. Mm-hmm. When the judge reads the count for the first one, which is tampering with food, he says not guilty. But he finds her guilty of poisoning him.
Sorry, we should also state that this was a judge trial. She waived her right to have a jury trial and wanted just a judge to hear it. Which is also very odd to me there's a couple of odd things about the trial. Number one, that if you're going for just a judge, why in the world wouldn't you testify? She doesn't take the stand. Take the stand. Yeah. You have one person to convince.
That was her decision to do the judge trial.
Yeah, like her and her lawyers. I mean, I'm sure that they both decided to do it. But why wouldn't she take the stand in that case? If it was just a judge she was trying to convince. Because she tries to do it at the end after she gets the guilty.
Yeah.
Right? So it's weird. Like, do it throughout. Tell your story. Mm-hmm. Tell about your marriage so that people understand. Or maybe you can say, like, these are the signs that I saw that make me think maybe he did commit suicide. This is why.
Guess she's not that bright.
I think she just thought she was going to get off. I think she thought, I'm 60 years old. No way he's going to convict. Well, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He found you guilty.
So I'll just bring it up now, even though Fashion Police is later. When she is at this hearing to get her sentencing. So she has one-upped. This is why I think she's either not that bright or extremely cocky. It has taken the tie color from the Emmy. She is wearing a blouse that is a solid lime green yellow.
It's the color,
the color of antifreeze.
It's the Gatorade color blouse.
Which she is wearing to the hearing for her sentencing for poisoning her husband with antifreeze. So is there no one on her team?
Oh, I know. No, I showed it to Oliver and I showed it to my mom. And I said, what color is this? What drink is this color? And Oliver's like, I don't know, Mountain Dew. And my mom's like, citrus twist, citrus twist. She kept repeating citrus twist.
She's so proud.
I don't know what to say because citrus twist is not citron. What is that? What's a citron? What are you talking about?
Is that an alcoholic drink?
What drink is that? I don't know. My mom doesn't drink a lot. It was a weird thing.
Is Citrus Twist a off-brand name, like a generic?
Sierra Twist is. I think that's the Walmart. The Walmart Sierra Mist, I think, is Sierra Twist. No, but Sierra Twist
is name brand. Sierra Mist is the brand that goes with Pepsi.
Sierra Twist is the knockoff of Sierra Mist.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
But wait, 7-Up is the thing that goes with Pepsi. Why do they have Sierra Mist instead of 7-Up?
No. Sierra Mist is Pepsi.
Okay.
7-Up is its own.
Where's
7-Up? 7-Up is with Sunkissed Orange and with... 7-Up might be with Dr. Pepper.
My apologies, 7-Up.
Anyways, both of them were shocked when I said the crime is killing her husband with antifreeze. And they both were like, oh, no, you can't wear that. you can't.
But did no one on her team go, this is like when Kendall Jenner is doing the Pepsi commercial and no one behind her was like, can I just real quick say something? So back to the story. Teresa is given 15 years to life. The new guy, Tim, is standing by Teresa. And when she went to prison, he asked her to marry him. It's so beautiful. Now, Josh is sitting down with him and thinks he's a full-on idiot. He says, you could find someone who isn't locked up, but you don't want anyone else, do you?
This whole interview, Josh's eyebrows are like working so hard.
You could find someone else that's not locked up, but you don't want anyone else, do you? You want her.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Josh is all of us saying her.
Also, Josh and the detective already have a conversation where Josh is like trying to figure it out from the detective.
Mm-hmm.
She's not exactly that's already happened at this point, right?
I think he
says, she's not exactly a femme fatale. That's the conversation I was talking
about. Oh, gotcha.
And the detective's like, no. And he's like, men are just they're just going for this. And the detective's like, yeah, I don't get it either.
Your guess is as good as mine. Okay. So the phone rings during the Josh interview with Tim, the new husband, and it's her. That ringtone is like a cacophony of guitars and cymbals. I couldn't hear it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was Southern country music.
Oh, it's country. It's country. I need somebody to figure out the song. It's a popular country song. It's like... Yeah, no, it's an intro
to... Like banjos?
It's an intro to a country song. I just don't know what it is because I don't know country music well enough. So it's going to be somebody that we don't... Brad Paisley. I don't know.
Someone should Shazam that and we'll figure it out. Isn't that the app? Shazam?
I think you can just do it on an iPhone now, can't you?
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
What's a phone? I have a landline. My name's Linda. So the new guy puts Teresa on the speakerphone so she can talk to Josh.
Do you think it was planned?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But I don't know how well she gets to time her phone calls. But if she is just an open, like, jail and she could just call whenever, then yeah, I think he told her what time he was doing the interview and she called. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Josh says, congratulations on the engagement. And he's laughing. And the new guy, Tim, is giggling because he's so excited that he's engaged to this precious woman that is Teresa. But Josh is laughing because it's just so ridiculous.
Because Josh is like, you're a murderer. Okay. Yeah. I mean, his face the whole time is so strained. If you just watch Josh, he's like, congratulations.
He's like, I can't believe this is my job.
Right.
So she says, is there anything you want to say? And she says, well, I want people to know I didn't do it. He did this to himself. It was an accidental suicide. He took it to make himself sick so that I would come back to him out of pity or something.
Yeah.
And she thinks that the truth will set her free. Hallelujah. So Teresa's friends and family are all still by her side, and they think that she's a good person who, through no fault of her own, attracts these men who become obsessed with her. And this is when Mank sits down with Beth with the perm and lays it all out. He says, Beth, let me make sure I understand this. Robert was willing to kill to have Teresa. Roy, the first husband, makes up a story that she's a killer so that no one else will have her. Ray tries to kill himself to get her to come back. Do you know anyone else who does these, who drives men to do these things? What's her secret? And he just can't contain himself. And Beth, with the perm, is like, I don't know. She's just a good woman. Beth.
Okay, Beth.
Beth is the new Janet. Seriously, Beth. Now, I want someone to just sit down with Beth and just really lay it out for her. And, like, yell in her face. Like, I need, like, she needs to go to one of those scared straight places. But
the ranch.
Like, scared guilty. It's, like, where you finally have to face the facts that your friend is a murderer. And they scream at you and, like, show you pictures and stuff. And everything you're in denial about until you stop being in denial. And you just break down and you're like, she did it. And she tried to kill me once. I just thought it was a coincidence. It was with stuffing instead of mashed potatoes, but the same thing happened to me.
She killed my cats.
Yeah, my cat died. I just didn't think they were related to each other at all. Oh, God. So we had so much B-roll bonanza.
Yeah, we did.
Did you want to say anything first?
No, I have some outside information, but it's nothing that important. It's just about the appeal, and it's just all questions, because the problem I think that I had with this case is that, okay, it goes both ways. I mean, I feel like you can make strong arguments on both sides. Mm-hmm. You could say that, yes, he had taken antifreeze. He had done exactly what she said. He took antifreeze to get her to come back, because the big part of the phone call that they're cutting out is that, or what she told the medical examiner, is that she said a million times, he said he drank something sweet. He said he drank something sweet. He said he drank something sweet. He told me I'd be sorry.
Mm.
Okay. So that does indicate that he did something, that he didn't mean to commit suicide, but he did drink something like that to get her to come back because he made himself sick, because she had literally just moved out 5 days before.
Right.
Get her to come back, and then is too, like, doesn't want to go to the hospital because, first of all, doesn't know that he's going to get that sick. You can die from 3 ounces of antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't know that it's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time it's killing him, it's too late to reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he gets so disoriented that you're right. He doesn't think to call the police, but he right. is doing it in a very dramatic fashion to get her to come, to feel sorry for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using it as a threat. That I can see that.
But then why did she fail the polygraph?
Right.
Why are there no fingerprints or DNA on
Correct.
The bottles? Why is the glass rinsed out?
Why isn't
out?
The bottle out?
Why is the glass not, like, rinsed out?
Right.
So all traces are gone.
But then again, on the other side, why did she kill him?
Why did she try to kill her first husband with mashed potatoes?
Who knows?
Maybe she's religious and doesn't want to get a divorce.
There's no evidence of that at all.
I don't know.
These are all, like, see where I'm saying? There are problems on both sides. I have a lot of questions on this, and I don't like it. I don't like these not clean cases where I can be like 100% she poisoned him.
Maybe she's just a murderer.
Yeah.
She just wants to murder someone. That bugs her. Maybe. That happens on Dateline all the time instead of getting divorced.
But then again, why? Okay, so then in the same way, why in the world wouldn't she take one of these plea deals?
That's so dumb. And that is, she got 15 years and she could have gotten
She could have gotten what,
out.
2 years? Yeah, she could have gotten maybe even time served. They were offering yeah. her deals because she's older and et cetera, et cetera. Which
yeah.
again, this makes me mad for Sandra Melgar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad again
oh,
about
I'm
this.
All, yeah,
this,
mm-hmm.
this bugs me. Mm-hmm. But like, why would she just know she was going to get off unless she was innocent? Unless she was like, I didn't do this. No one's going to convict me because I didn't do it.
Right. She just innocently goes in and is like, well, it's going to be fine. They don't have anything.
Right.
I didn't do it. So I'm not going to get convicted. She could. She's one of these people who blindly believes in the justice system. Like, mm-hmm. well, the system works. I didn't do it. So I won't go to jail.
Right. It's fine to just have a judge hear me because he's going to understand that I did not do this.
Right. My gut still says she did it, though.
Yeah. My gut says probably.
But you don't know if there would have been enough to convict.
I don't know if she had actually had a jury trial. That's what she's trying to go for now, is to get a jury trial.
Right, because then there might be reasonable doubt.
Yeah, and she thinks that the judge was swayed by a few other things. He thinks that speaking at the hospital about the ventilator tubes, she was talking very quickly. As soon as they were putting the tube in, she was like, no, no, he doesn't want that. And the people at the hospital thought that was a little premature for her to be talking about him not wanting
oh,
to
like
live on
end
life
of
support. Correct.
Oh.
But then again, she doesn't, in a hospital situation, I'm like, well, you have to take that with a grain of salt because she doesn't know exactly what's going on. She's like, wait, what's
right.
happening here? What are we doing? And
yeah.
I've been in situations where if you don't, you know, you don't know exactly what's happening. So,
right.
I don't know. She probably did it, but man, I don't like it. It's not clean. I can't tell why.
I don't like that she failed the polygraph. I know they're not admissible.
No, I don't like that either. Why did she fail?
Usually find that.
But did she fail a bunch of questions
there.
On that? Did she fail a bunch of stupid questions?
I don't know. I feel like, I hope Dateline would tell us that, but I don't know.
Is there any other information that we have about why? Because I couldn't find it.
If anyone knows, tell us.
Yeah, please. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Yes, there's so much B-roll. There's
okay.
insane
so
amount.
There's my new favorite B-roll shot, which is the camera is placed on the steering wheel.
Inside.
Shooting up to the cop.
Correct.
Driving. So the proportions are all weird.
Yeah.
It looks like he has giant hands and we're looking up his nose.
Or like he's playing a video game, but we're getting the reverse of it because he's
right.
on the steering wheel. Like a steering, like a car
yeah.
video game, kind of. Yeah, it was bizarre.
And, oh boy, Beth, the friend
yeah,
with
sure.
the perm, she is raking leaves.
Yeah, she is. Yes, she's doing.
So
she's
how does that
up.
Happen? Does Dateline say, okay, so we can have you looking at photos. We could have you drinking a cup of coffee and looking out the window. And she's like, no, I want to rake.
No, I think it's like, well, how about it's outside. It's fall time. They're like, what would you normally do on a Thursday afternoon? Oh, well, I would come home and probably rake leaves. Let's do that. That's the conversation.
It reminded me of when Trump said that the California forest fires were our fault because we didn't rake the forests.
They and do in Pennsylvania, like, Kimberly. They don't have forest fires in Pennsylvania or in Ohio.
Because they rake the forest.
No, because the, like, Amish rakes the forest.
I was like, damn it, Beth. Thank you. Where were you during our fires? Thanks a lot,
California,
Beth.
Needed you, Beth, and you let us down.
Hashtag rake news. Hashtag make America rake again.
Hashtag priorities, Beth. Okay, go ahead.
So then the boyfriend with the tie-dye shirt, he's mowing his lawn. Mm-hmm. So we're getting all kinds of garden care in this episode. There's a CSI guy in his lab, and he's testing fingerprints with powder. Mm-hmm. And he's testing 2 tins of Planters peanuts. And I'm dying to know what case he's working on. Like, was someone poisoned? Like, peanuts? If they have a severe peanut allergy and someone sprinkled peanuts in something? What's happening?
I wanna
or were
know.
They his snack and they just got mixed up in the mix? That doesn't
Tell
seem like a very good lab.
Me everything, lab
exactly.
man.
Exactly.
What's happening? Yeah.
There's a horse and buggy with some adorable Amish children.
There's several horse
their Frida.
And
yes.
buggies.
The children are just like sitting in the back. It made me very nervous. Are seatbelts not? Are seatbelts considered technology?
No. The Lord will protect Jedediah.
And then there's another horse and buggy going down the road, and there's like a Saturn or something stuck behind it, which has to be the worst. You're stuck behind a horse and buggy. You're driving through horse poop on the road. You can't pass them. I guess you can't like honk and pass a horse on the side if it's going too slow.
I don't know what happened. What is horse and buggy etiquette, road etiquette?
Don't know. Oh. Don't know.
I think you're just annoyed. It's like a tractor. I mean, well, you haven't lived in a place. If I saw you, you'd get stuck behind tractors. And you were like,
could you pass
really?
Them?
Not safely. Mm. Hold on. I'm at the Ashtabula County Visitors Bureau, and I want to see if how much Amish. Oh, well, there's something called the Barn Quilt Trail. So we're, that's, this is where we are.
Okay. So, can we do fashion, please? We already did it. But I want to do courtroom etiquette, since we just spoke about etiquette.
Also, would you like to go with me August 2nd through November 1st to the Erie Harbor Ghost Walk?
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Courtroom etiquette. In the courtroom, you see Teresa's new husband. The benches are so, overcrowded. Like, they have not properly disperse the people on the benches because he's so tight in there that his arms are crossed, like, you know, like this.
Oh, yeah, when you're just like, yeah, you don't want to touch the person next to you.
Yeah. And so he looks just so uncomfortable, but he's also wearing an old t-shirt and shorts, so I guess it's casual Friday at the courthouse.
No, I think that Tim doesn't, I think he owns one collared shirt, and we saw it.
Yeah, we saw it. He did that one already.
And it's a polo shirt.
Yeah. There's a grandma who is telling this probably 5-year-old little girl to be quiet in the courtroom. Why are you bringing a 5-year-old to a murder trial?
Is that her granddaughter?
I don't know.
Maybe she's out of school that day. It's a half a day. Army had half a day.
Army had half a day.
Kindergarten is half a day.
I don't think that's appropriate.
It's not the best.
I don't think that's... I know it's hard to find a sitter, and they're expensive.
I don't know. This town is pure and
this
sweet.
This is a trial about murder.
They have something called barn trails. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
This is just
and
down
this
home. It's
okay. A trial about antifreeze poisoning.
She's not going to know what's up. She's not going to know.
You don't know what's going to affect that girl in 30 years. She's going to have these repressed memories of the trial.
I do. Well, I don't... Wait. Did Tim have a ponytail?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, should he
I
have
like
a ponytail?
I feel like I would have noticed.
But
yeah,
he should
definitely.
Have, or he did
yeah,
have
he
one
should have
until
one.
Recently.
I think so. I think he just cut it off for the interview. That he had that ponytail vibe.
And I'm sorry, are you skipping quotes? Because I did have one quote.
Sure, go for it.
Just that Tim did say that he was happy because one of the main reasons that he liked Teresa was because she was attentive. Does that mean
you
that
know,
she did the washing? What is it? She's an attentive wife.
Is that some sexual something?
I don't. Well, I mean, she polished all the knobs. That's the only thing that I think it was attentive to housework and attentive to his sensual needs.
But you know who else is attentive? Is someone that is poisoning you.
Yes, true.
They are bringing you things every few minutes, checking on you. Can I get you some more tea? That is attentive, and it is also murderous. So beware if someone is attentive.
Yeah, I agree. Wait, did you also notice one quick B-roll I just saw? Sorry, you know mine's all scattered to the four winds. Monica's house is beautiful. It's like the most beautiful house I've ever seen in like the green rolling hills of Ohio, Amish country. But then at the very, very beginning, they did the match.com lookup about online dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just random emojis going with the opening monologue. I thought that
when something sad was happening, like when Josh was talking about love being great, it was like heart emojis, heart face. And then he would say, sometimes it goes badly. And then it would be like,
cry emoji. And that was really funny. And then also, but they're Googling match.com. But they're not doing the full match.com because I think they'd get sued. So it's just match. And then like the results are coming in on Google and I freeze framed it. I paused it because I wanted to see what they were. And it was like matcha tea. And then it was something called match.fashion.
Oh.
I don't know what that is. Matching fashions? I don't know. But anyways, I just thought that was funny.
I bet it's they take a designer photo and they can match it with like cheaper brands.
That could be it, like duping that, like they do it with makeup. But
yeah,
then,
like a copy look.
Well, or it could be like previously on is a website that does, like if you like something on a TV show, you can look it up on the TV show.
They'll find you.
And then they'll find it like you go to Nordstrom's and it's $600, that t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Oh, darn.
Thanks, that was helpful.
That's a shame. How much is it at Forever 21? Will it catch on fire in 30 seconds?
alternative theories. I got to put Robert Durst in there again. Just somehow feel like he might have been involved.
Depression.
I think. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So scary. Do you have any titles that were good?
No.
It's 1,000 degrees.
No, I just had that To Die For because he's wearing tie-dye. Sorry. It's not good. I thought Man Down was the best title that you came up with. I think that was a legitimately good title.
What about Sweet and Sour?
Sweet yet sour? Sweet and sweet. Sour.
I had my notes from last time, and one of them says, thank God there's antifreeze. And
what's
I don't
that?
Know what that means. I don't know. I don't get it.
I wonder
it.
If I had any good titles. Probably not.
We'll never know. It's over. I do have some corrections from last week. 85,000 people told us that the song you were thinking of is Down With The Sickness by Disturbed. And a lot of our listeners were disturbed that they knew what that song was. There was a lot of embarrassment.
Sorry, everyone. But I do know Down With The Sickness. I did not know that the band that sang it, though, was was Disturbed. I did not know
I've
that.
Not heard. I don't never had heard of Disturbed. I don't know.
Do you know Down With The Sickness? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Get down
of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Course. So everyone follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you so much.
Not on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. We're not very smart. Is it Apple Podcast? It's not iTunes.
You can't say iTunes anymore? Like
no,
give us an iTunes review?
I think it's Apple Podcast app or Stitcher or Spotify, but really Apple Podcast is the one we want the review on. Is that right?
Those are the main yes, that's what controls how people noticing your podcast.
Oh, all right.
And
there we
go. Some people pay for reviews, which we don't, which is why we have so few of them.
Oh,
so
that's crazy. Thanks for listening, though. Tell a friend. Tell two friends and have them tell their friends. Like a chain email. That's not creepy.
It's the worst, most annoying advice. That's why I say just steal someone's phone, subscribe on their phone. They'll never know. It won't hurt their phone. It's not like a virus or anything. And you're like, send them death emails every day saying you will have bad luck for 40 years if you don't subscribe to a date with Dateline.
I was trying not to say that, but
your family will leave you.
It came out
like
that.
You will lose your job and you will have a ghost that haunts you.
The ghost of Bobby Durst will haunt you when he inevitably passes from too much meth.
That's not his ghost now.
Bye bye.
Bye everyone. Don't watch alone.